This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You, Justin Turner, you are our man of the game.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
If we get the Joe Flacco who is out of F's to give.
The fact that people want to get on their phones and show people you're an adult.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Joe Flacco is my favorite player in the league.
I'm saying root for him.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. ESPN NBA insider Shyam Charania. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of this Friday show. We just concluded What's More Likely. Shyam Charania of ESPN joined us in advance of Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight that you can watch right here on Roku. Our friends at ABC will be broadcasting that game coast to coast. You can check it out right here through this here portal. Hour number one, Tom Pelissero, my colleague from NFL Network. As you know, we always love talking ball whenever we can, certainly with you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial, or with our friend from ESPN back here on the program, Louis Riddick is here. Good to see you, Louis. How are you, sir?
What's up, man? How are you?
Better for seeing you. What's going on in your world?
There you go. Not too much, man. It's kind of like trying to ease on into the summer.
That's right.
And then,
I call.
Keep tabs on what's going on in the league and then get back to work in a couple weeks, a couple months.
That's right. That's right. So, I'll ask you what we've been wondering here. Oh, anything from minicamp this week? Anything? Any of the storylines? Any of the holdouts? Any of the quarterback competitions that you think we do have a roadmap of what's going to happen in week one and who's going to be around in week one? Louis Riddick, anything this week?
Man, I'll tell you, look, the Cincy situation with Shamar Stewart is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how that football team just continues to not be able to shake the reputation that it has for being one that just does not take care of its players en masse. Now, I know they took care of Joe, they took care of Jamar, they took care of T, but this whole situation with Trey and then not being able to get Shamar, so, I mean, it's just with Hendrickson, it's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling because this football team really does know how to identify talent, you know, as far as how to build football teams. It's just how to kind of keep a team together. That's an interesting one for me. I think obviously when you start thinking about Aaron in Pittsburgh and what is the effect going to be? Look, I thought I had said a couple months ago, Rich, that I thought that they needed each other, that these two were a good match in terms of Pittsburgh needing a guy who could level them up at quarterback. And I think Aaron does that. And I really do believe, contrary to maybe what evidence has shown you, that he is someone who can just buy in and fit in and not have to try and manipulate and change and have everything his way. And because he's not going to have that in Pittsburgh. And I think that's exactly what he needs to just focus playing on the game, playing the game and playing at a high level and making everyone else around him better. So I think those are two really, really good stories for me. You got to keep your eye on what's going on in Washington with Terry McLaurin. I know it's early. I know we're still in June. When you're talking about trying to keep a young quarterback from having any kind of setback, Terry McLaurin is critical for Jaden Daniels. Any time missed is a lot of time missed for me. when it comes to that kind of situation, because Terry is fantastic. And he's not just fantastic as a player. He's fantastic as a teammate by all accounts, in every account. And Jaden needs him on the field in order for them to take another step up and continue to battle with Philadelphia for supremacy in the East, who is going to be right there again. I mean, Philly's just going to be right. They just are. They're going to be there again. Dallas is going to be better. Don't sleep on the Giants. That pass rush, the Giants may have a top five defense, a top three defense in the NFL this year. They may have the best pass rush in the NFL this year.
Really?
So they can just get their act together offensively. But the East will be fun to watch. The East will be real fun to watch.
Lewis Riddick here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is your expectation level of Rodgers? And just to follow up, did you just basically say the fact that we're not sitting here talking about whether Rodgers has a list of players that he wants the Steelers to sign and that he's going to have his own hand-picked coordinator, the fact that that sort of, lack of a better phrase, catering is not going to be available at the Pittsburgh Craft Service is going to serve Rodgers well? Did I pick up on that, Lewis?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's amazing what you can do when your mind's not cluttered, right? When you're not trying to wear too many hats and you can just kind of keep the main thing. And for him, that main thing is pretty damn good, which is playing quarterback. You know, he's pretty good at that. And you could see the respect. You could feel the respect kind of like emanating, you know, through the television screen in this sense, when he was talking at his press conference, or rather his media availability, about the respect that he had for Mike. I think every player that goes into Pittsburgh, every free agent, every draft pick, every coach that goes there and comes out of there, you know, they always have like kind of the same opinion about the fact that this is a blue blood, a true blue blood franchise that makes you, or should make you, want to act and kind of level up your own professionalism and how you do things. And really just want to play ball. I mean, I understand it's a business. TJ Watt in that situation is showing you that it's still a business now. But it's just when you're there and you put on that helmet and you wear those colors and you walk through that facility, you just want to play ball, man. That's really what it's all about there. And I don't think there's any team that you can say that any more about than Pittsburgh. And I think that's exactly what Aaron needs. And I think you'll get the best that he's got to give at this point, at 40-plus years old, is exactly what you'll get. I don't think he's going to cheat you in any way as far as what he's going to give you. I think he will wring the rag dry, so to speak, to use a metaphor, as far as what he's got left. And I think that's going to be pretty good. And I think it'll make Pittsburgh pretty interesting.
Lewis Riddick here on the Rich Eisen Show from ESPN. Let's talk some rookies here, Lewis. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what Cam Ward had to say about what he's going to do between now and training camp? Did you hear that song?
Oh, yeah. That's a great quote.
Hold on a minute. We got it. For those who might not have heard it, roll it.
It's been good. From growing, learning, especially being with the vets, getting our timing down. So I'm excited for the summer.
What's your plan for the next 5 to 6 weeks before you report to camp? And will you gather with your receivers and some of the other quarterbacks and go over things just to kind of refresh everybody?
Just work out, stay in the playbook, and throw the out the balls.
That's so good.
Right? What do you think when you hear that?
That's him, man. He's all ball. Again, we talked about Pittsburgh. As far as an organization, it's just about ball. Cam's just about playing the game. Said on TV just the other day that he is the least hyped, talked about number one overall pick that I can remember. And I can't understand. I mean, I understand why, because of the other big personalities in the draft this year, at quarterback, namely Shador and all the oxygen that he took out of the room as far as the discussion is concerned. But Cam is legit, man. That's how he is. That's how he was. That's what the coaching staff told you when you went up to Pullman at Washington State. That's what Mario Cristobal told you and Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator, told you when you went down to Coral Gables in Miami, that this is who he is. And then when you watched him on the field and playing games, when you went to his pro day, He's about ball. And he is a master talker when it comes to being able to jaw back and forth with the opponent, back and forth with teammates, hold teammates accountable, hold himself accountable. He is an alpha in every sense. He is a tier one leader in every sense. He took that program by the throat last year, Rich. He really did. Mario talked about it. Mario played on great teams at Miami, played with some of the best college football players and subsequently some of the best NFL football players in the history of the game. And he said, this guy's right up there with the best leaders of them all. It's exactly what Tennessee needed. Jeffrey Simmons, his own, you know, the all pro bowl defensive tackle, was talking about the fact that he was impressed about the fact that this young rookie quarterback could trade one-liners and smack talk with the best of them while still taking instruction from his head coach and executing the offense and directing the offense at a high level for a rookie. He said, hell, if for nothing else, I was impressed just by that. And you know he can throw it. You've seen how he can throw it. I just think that as we get closer and closer to camp and the games start, I think Tennessee, for the first time in a while, has a guy who is going to demand that we start covering and send in lots of reporters down there, say, what do we have with this kid?
All right.
What do we have? I know small market team, blah, 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 in the South and the AFC, but what do we have here? We haven't been giving this kid enough run. It's going to be time to give him some.
Lewis Riddick here on the Rich Eisen Show. Maybe part of the reason also you would talk about oxygen that you and I and our respective draft coverages spent time on, obviously, as Cam Ward's walking to the stage, the first major trade of the entire draft season occurs, right? And it's the Browns willingly coughing up the rights to draft Travis Hunter to Jacksonville for considerations, including a first next year. So obviously we were going to be talking about that amidst what we would normally be focusing on, the first overall pick in the draft and Cam Ward. This soundbite from Travis Hunter leapt out at me, Lewis, and I'd love to get your two cents on it on the other side of all of us in the media, including those that were down there in Duval County, hunting and pecking for how much he's going to play on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
How's it been just for you to be able to actually get on the field, play defense, play offense? We've been able to do that during this time.
It's been great. I've been doing it my whole life, so nothing changed.
But just learning in an NFL way, just the differences maybe or how it's been for you just adapting.
Not really no difference. Just got to stay in the playbook and apply it to the field.
While you're trying to adapt to being an NFL player, how has that been, just letting your personality shine through?
It's been very easy for me. You know, the guys come in and I bring the juice every day. Always got a smile on my face, making everyone laugh when I get the chance. So we just been fun, having fun, and just being kids out here just loving and living our dream.
Yeah, I just love how it's just another day on the field for him, Lewis. You know what I mean? And he's not fazed by it. And my only alarm would be if he was the type of kid that wasn't going to be serious about it and he doesn't know what he doesn't know. I think he knows what he knows. That's the way I'm looking at it with him. But the learning what he does in an NFL way, is there a difference? I mean, obviously, we know there's a difference between Big 12 football and NFL football. But the endeavor of playing on both sides of the ball, is it different? Lewis?
Yeah, it will be. Look, I mean,
how so then? What do you think?
I'll say this. Obviously, he's playing against 11 five stars on the other side of the ball every game,
right?
So to speak. You know, he don't have like one or two, and then a couple three stars, and a couple guys who will be, you know. And it's not like it's bad to work at Goldman Sachs, but guys are going to be working at Goldman Sachs on Wall Street next year and not playing football. You know what I mean?
I hear you on that. Like I know he's playing against better competition, but the endeavor, the actual endeavor of football here of the construct of what I'd love for him to attempt, you know?
Yeah, I think the physical strain and mental strain of. Okay, so the physical strain, right? Every hit that he takes, every route that he runs, every wide receiver that he covers, every tackle that he makes is physically going to take a toll on his body that's going to be measurably more significant than what it was in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. So can he keep up the same pace at the NFL level that he could at the college level? No, I don't. I mean, I'm sure he could try it for a little while, but this isn't a guy that you want to like use up in 3-4 years in one contract. I mean, Travis is a multiple contract guy, two, three contracts that you want to get 15 years out of maybe. So you don't want to run him into the ground to where you basically just drive the wheels off of him simply because he wanted to play both sides of the ball. You wanted him to play both sides of the ball and you didn't have any discipline with doing it. I think that's the difference because of the physical and mental strain that it's going to take. Look, learning the playbook in Jacksonville under Liam Cohen, I'm sure Pat Shurmur is a good friend of mine who's offensive coordinator out there at Colorado. Pat is an ex-pro style coach. So I'm sure he is kind of like been already introduced to some NFL style terminology and a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's your job, even though some people say, well, in college, it's your job too, with today's the way it's constructed now. But now that it's your job and now that you're playing the number of games that you're playing and the fact that it is a true year-round endeavor and you're going up the very best of the best, like you just don't know if he can keep up that kind of pace. He may feel like, hey, it's good. I'm doing it now. I mean, but they're in minicamp. They're in OTAs. Not a single dude has touched him yet. Not a single one. You know, there's the whole mental part of it right now is it's all just fun. It's all honeymoon right now. It's all good. Nobody's on your ass right now about wins and losses, drop passes or touchdowns given up or there's no stress, none. And I hope, look, I'd have no question that he will keep that same attitude though. Travis is unique. Travis is a unicorn. Travis has been trained by a guy who you know well, who's mm-hmm. one of the best to ever do it as far as play the game and then manage the celebrity of it all. He's been trained by the very, very best to ever do it. So do I think he's uniquely equipped? Yeah. But I just think they just need to be careful, man. Let's not go already 1,000 miles an hour. Keep Travis so we can play the long game too, so he can be around for a while mm-hmm. and not just use him up because we were so enamored with how ridiculously gifted he is, which he is.
Well,
ridiculous.
He is, you know, and I know this is an unfair analogy, but it's the only one that I think I can make. You know, at some point we know Ohtani's going to stop pitching, right? We know that, although he's about to come back and pitch again. But we just don't think when he's in, you know, contract three. Well, I mean, contract three is his retirement. So that's a bad analogy. But, you know, we just don't think that when he's in his mid to late 30s, he's going to be throwing, right? But I'm just mm-hmm. like, part of me is like, this kid is a kid once. Like, let's see it. And maybe he is a unicorn, though, Lewis. Maybe he can actually handle this. Maybe this is
Rich,
it.
I'm not,
you know?
I'm not in any way saying that you shouldn't let him do both.
Right.
He should do both. He should definitely do both. You are hurting yourself, and you're right. You're putting an unnecessary governor on him that really isn't necessary. That maybe. Really is going to
right?
not allow you to get everything out of him that you could. I'm just saying, just be smart about it. He can't play 125 snaps a game.
Right.
Let's not
damn
do
it.
That.
Damn it.
You know what I mean?
I want to see not, it.
You know,
I want to see
just,
it.
I was just sitting here thinking about thinking about high school, right? I was thinking about high school football the other day. We used to go to, you know, Friday night football, man. Like, and I thought, you know, the only time I came out the field was field goal kick. Was point. That was it.
Let's go.
That was it.
Let's go.
I don't know. I don't know if Travis can do that, man. He probably, if anybody could, he probably could.
Yeah, the only Friday game is the day after Christmas, day after Thanksgiving, right? All right. So then what do you think is happening in Browns camp? What do you think is going to happen there before I let you go, Lewis?
You know, I think it really does all depend on how Kevin is able to, as it relates to Shador, work him in enough. Well, one, Shador has to earn the right for Kevin and the staff to have discussions about, hey, we got to get him more reps with the ones and twos. Mm-hmm. We got to get him more reps with the ones and twos when we're going team period, not just walkthrough or not just 7-on-7 team situations where we move the football in the preseason game. We got to get him more reps. I think it's he has to earn that. Kevin has to figure out a way to do that. So then you can reasonably assess what you have in him compared to Dillon Gabriel, compared to Kenny, compared to Joe Flacco. If you don't, then, you know, the conversation around surrounding him is going to continue to be what it's been, which is, but for some people, he was overhyped all along. He's not that great of an athlete, doesn't have a big enough arm. There's a reason why he was a fifth round pick, blah, 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 which I don't believe. I believe if he is given enough reps, earns enough reps, and then is given enough reps in meaningful situations, he can throw the ball just as good as Joe, if not better, just as good as Kenny, if not better, just as good as Dillon Gabriel, not better. And if it's truly what we all like to say the NFL is, which is a meritocracy, which in theory it is, in actuality, there isn't enough time for it to be a true meritocracy, especially when you're talking about trying to get four quarterbacks ready or give four quarterbacks enough reps to figure out who the best one is. We know that it isn't always that way. And a lot of times it's just simply because there's just not enough opportunities. So can Kevin figure that out? Can he figure out how to get the information, to get enough reps, to get enough of him on tape to where he could really say, damn, man, we, you know, maybe by, I don't know, week 4, 5, 7, I think 7 is kind of like the sweet spot in the season, week 7. Should we be considering putting him in there? I'm hoping he gets enough run and earns enough run to be able to have them have that conversation. Because I think if he does get enough reps, Rich, I think he will make them have that conversation.
Louis Riddick, as always, love talking ball with you.
You got it, man.
Let's do it again soon. Thank you. That's Louis Riddick of ESPN. Everybody follow him. We do. Always makes us smarter. Always love chopping it up with Louis Riddick right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. Phone calls. A lot of people want to talk with us, which is good news. And he mentioned Jeffrey Simmons, what he had to say about Cam Ward. We'll play that that soundbite, if you will, for you coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
This episode is brought to you by SelectQuote. Life insurance can have a huge impact on our family's future. With SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is simple and affordable. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents will tailor your experience to find a life insurance policy for your needs in as little as 15 minutes. And SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for many conditions. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Go to selectquote.com/SpotifyPod today to get started.
Brian in Williamsport joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
What's going on in your mind, Brian?
Podcaster.
Say it again.
Oh, it's a podcast.
Hey, Rich. It's first time, long time on the podcast.
All right, Rob. For good. Good to have you here.
All right.
From the home of Little League Baseball, huh? Williamsport, right. Pennsylvania. Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to talk about, Brian? What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to do the Steelers win-loss game, but I've also helped out Smokey Bear throw out a first pitch and made a heck of a lot better pitch than Taylor Wanda.
Well, I mean, pretty much, Brian, anybody with an arm and a baseball will throw a better first pitch than Taylor Lewan, who has been spending apparently enough time trying to make up for his dreadful performance.
Trying to ride the throne.
In a way, it's just like, it's over. It's over. That's the one it's over.
That's the one we're all going to remember.
On. That's it. I mean, you know. But let's give some music here to Brian in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. All right. Win-loss game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're the first to do this. First game at the Jets. What happens?
Sorry, Rich, but
good.
We're gonna give a loss to our old quarterback.
Okay. Seattle Seahawks, home for the Seahawks. What happens?
I think we're going to win that one as well.
At the Patriots.
That one's gonna be an interesting game, but I think we're gonna go to Ireland with 3-0.
And then, what do you do in Ireland?
Ireland. I think we're having a good showing there. I agree with you. We're going to start 4-0.
I appreciate you listening, Brian, or taking the show in like that, because I made a case how they could start 4-0.
I really enjoyed
you kind
that
of just made it. I bet you did. Off the bye, off of Ireland, home for the Browns.
I think we're gonna win that one.
That's 5-0 at the Bengals. Short week Thursday night football.
At the Bengals, this is where we're gonna have a little falter there, and they're gonna get us.
All right, and then you come home for the biggie. Rodgers taking on the Packers for the first time ever, and a Sunday night in Pittsburgh. What happens in Acrisure?
I think that's gonna be a tight game, and DJ Watt's gonna come through and
there you go.
Deal it up for us at the end.
6-1 home for the Colts.
Colts. I'm sorry. Who's their quarterback?
7-1 at the Chargers.
Chargers. I think they'll. I think Harbaugh will get us on that one.
7-2 back home for the Bengals.
Back home, we're gonna avenge our loss and go get a win.
8-2 at the Bears.
At the Bears, I think they got a really strong team this year, and I think they'll. I think it'll hand us a loss there.
Oh, boy. Rodgers, as you know, owns that team. Let's not forget.
I know.
Okay, I know. So we're now 8-3, home for the Bills.
Home for the Bills. I think we're going to have a back-to-back loss.
So. Okay, 8-4 at the Ravens. Look out below.
At the Ravens. Yeah, we're going to hit a bit of a skid here, and I think that's a loss.
All right, 8-5 now. Dolphins home on a Monday night.
Dolphins, this is where we're going to turn it back around, and we're going to get them.
9-5 at the Lions.
At the Lions, that's going to be a tough game. I think it'll come down to the end, and I think we're going to lose that one.
9-6 at the Browns.
At the Browns, we're going to win.
10-6 home for the Ravens.
Home for the Ravens. I think you're going to get it this year. They're just a tough team.
Okay, so you're 10-7. Go figure that. I've never heard the Steelers finishing 10-7 before. Brian in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, says as same as it ever was. But I would think that makes them a playoff team. So
I'm hoping, and then hopefully we can finally get that win back.
Thank you very much. There you go. Brian in Williamsport, PA, hanging on to play the Steelers win loss game.
I don't want to divulge, the conversations we have off air, but, TJ just said in my ear, if the Steelers start 8-2, he'll shave his head.
I promise you.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Would you do that?
What do you think?
You wouldn't.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh.
Can't have four bald dudes in here.
What was said to me was, if the Steelers go 8-2, I'll shave your head. And I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do with that bet.
Chris, I know you don't. I know you think the Steelers are
8-2 start. I mean, I think that would shock the whole league.
Chris, at the Jets, the Steelers always beat the Jets. And when I say always, I understand it's not the same old Jets. It's a new Aaron Glenn and all of that business.
I know we're just focusing on Pittsburgh here, but you don't think Justin Fields wants to prove something in that game?
Of course he does.
Yeah, he's got
But when it all comes down to it, Chris, home for the Seahawks, winnable game. At the Patriots, winnable game. It is going to be a Steelers-palooza crowd, no matter how many folks might skull chant and make it from the great city of Minneapolis. That is going to be insane in Dublin when the Steelers are there and the Rooney family is there. You come off of a bye week and you're home for the Browns, winnable game. At the Bengals, the short week, tough one. Could lose that one for sure. Could lose any of them, I get it. Home for the Packers. And then home for Indianapolis. Those are eight games. They could easily be 6-2 in those games. 100%. And then at the Chargers, home for the Bengals again. I thought he was going to say Rodgers doesn't lose in Chicago. The Steelers are going to take that. These are winnable football games with a team that has a stout defense and a quarterback that could bring more points to bear.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
It's June. We all get caught up playing the win-loss game. I did it last week, but I'm just saying, 8-2 for a start for the Steelers. Wow, I'd be stunned.
Let's do something that nobody's talking about, which is talk about Cam Ward. Again, listen, we don't talk about this kid.
Why not?
Because
we should.
I will explain
why.
We
have the power to do so.
I'll explain why in a second. But the way to set it all up is we had one of the best smack talkers in the game sitting in that chair, filling up every square inch of it, right around this time last summer when Jeffrey Simmons came in here and said this about how he was going to treat a first overall drafted quarterback in Caleb Williams when he saw him in week one of last year. One of the National Football League season will be the first human being on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Pain in nails.
In a game.
Pain in nails.
I can't wait to say that to him.
For right. Caleb Williams.
Well, definitely.
So, that's you've got that plan?
Oh, it's going to, yeah.
So, you know, Caleb did win that game. Will Levis was a turnover machine, unfortunately, in a game where the Titans were looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And yada, 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 the Titans wound up with the first overall pick anyway. And Jeffrey Simmons apparently getting Cam Ward ready for what the Broncos might be saying to him in week one of his career when he opens up in Denver. And Simmons giving him the business already, apparently.
Past weekend, I was like, you know, I'm going to be talking smack to you, too. So, you know, it's fun. You know, I think at the end of the day, as you guys saw it and I saw it myself, that, you know, when you can have a guy with that much confidence as a rookie, I mean, I haven't been spent that much time around Cam, and you know, we talked going back and forth, talking smack with each other, and, you know, he was able to get back in the huddle and still throw the ball down the middle of the field. So I think that was the most impressive thing, not him talking smack to me, but I think being able to get back in the huddle, get to play to the guys, and still operate the offense, I think that was the most impressive thing.
So, how's Cam taken? This was Cam Ward's response about what Jeffrey Simmons has been giving him in practice.
I'm always locked in. Trash talk, it'll never mean nothing to me. It won't get to me in some type of way. I'm just somebody who likes doing it. And so what's the point of playing something that you love, you can't have fun with it. So, you know, that's where it comes from. But, I mean, I love the game. And so any chance I get, you know, to let somebody know that they can't f*** with me, it really doesn't matter.
I like that.
Didn't we see a moment with him and Shador? What was that?
Workout. Yeah.
Somewhere where Shador said we should make music together, and he's like, I'm a football player.
Yeah.
Right? And the two of them have a relationship where they give each other crap like that.
Right.
But a lot of folks were saying, well, Shador's not serious. Cam Ward is. And it's interesting that Cam Ward now has that mantra of being, you know, all about ball, or at least we're now noticing it.
It's about that business.
Because the way his Miami career ended was him, we all know, the narrative, he turned down the competition, leaving in the middle of a game that we're wondering, why'd you play in the first place?
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
It's all like, well,
he didn't play in the second half, right? Is that what it was?
Right, where he wasn't all in for his, he was all in for his teammates in a game that he really shouldn't have been playing in, because that's what guys who are now first overall type quarterbacks do, or top draft picks do, is they want to avoid getting hurt in games that really don't mean anything because they're not in the college football playoffs. So we gave him, you know, kudos for doing that, but then he left in the middle of the game, and it's really weird. Remember that?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about that's a red flag. Why would you want a guy on your team who's turning down the competition? But we're kind of learning that he's not that kid. What's he going to do between now and training camp, now that he's got the summer? Hit it. Oh, we got that. Yeah, play that soundbite one more time, if you don't mind, that we played for Lewis Riddick. This is the greatest soundbite. This is what everybody's talking about right here. We were all wondering, like, what's he going to do between now and the first snap of training camp?
It's been good. From growing, learning, especially being with the vets, getting our timing down. So I'm excited for the summer.
What's your plan for the next 5 to 6 weeks before you report to camp and when you gather with your receivers and some of the other quarterbacks and go over things just to kind of refresh everybody?
Just work out, stay in the playbook, and throw the out the ball.
All right.
I like it.
Don't you?
I do. Right? I do.
Kind of like seeing this right now.
That's fun.
And if you're a Titan fan, you got to be fired up.
Yeah.
Because that was a conversation. It's like, why do you start a game that you shouldn't have been playing, and then why do you leave it? Remember that was a conversation? Red flag.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart Bowl. That's what that was. Right. And then later Miami came out and said, oh, this was all part of the plan.
Yeah, it was part of the plan. It's like, how weird is this?
Yeah.
So was he just trying to make a show of it that he's playing a game that he doesn't have to? And then he takes himself out? And like, what's that all about? Well, we couldn't be learning what a bunch of crap that was. And then again, when you were watching Miami football this past year, were you sitting there saying that's the first overall pick in the draft? Was that a consensus?
Not a consensus.
Correct.
Sometimes he looked like it, and then other times.
Right. Right. Not so much. And then there was like, what, Ward time? With a couple minutes to go?
Yeah, wait fourth quarter, they're down, and he'd
boom
pull magic out of his head.
Yeah, he would do that. And so, again, you have to take a look at the fact that a lot of folks were saying Shador could be a first overall selection. Then we found out that was couldn't have been further from the reality, the way that the league evaluated. And then the kid becomes the first overall pick in a draft after we saw six of the first 12. And now we're wondering how many first round quarterbacks was there going to be? Was he just, you know, better and pushed up because there was no one else in a quarterback needy league? That was a question about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't work out of the combine. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if he is all about ball, he's not going out there and marketing himself. And then he's drafted by a Titans team that, coast to coast, with all due respect, not a lot of people talk about Tennessee Titans football. We get a lot of grief from diehard Titans fans saying, why don't you talk about them enough?
Or when we do, it's about, you know, mayonnaise and banana peels.
And so there's that. And then we were waiting to see who is going to potentially move up in the draft. Didn't get that at all. And then we finally got a trade as he's walking to the stage. And with all due respect to Lewis Riddick and ESPN's coverage, it was all about once Cam Ward was drafted, one of the members on their coverage going nuts about making the wrong decision. While we, on our side, on our draft coverage, we talked about Cam Ward about 2 minutes, 3 minutes before. We were like, oh, my God, there's a trade, and it's for Travis Hunter, and the Browns are not going to take him. And it's the Jaguars who are. And I'll be honest with you, I will always shoot everyone straight here. When this moment was happening on the stage, when Cam Ward had his jersey, I was thinking to myself, we've got to give the kid his due. We We've got to talk about him, but man, when the hell can I turn the page to the biggest news of the draft? Because we all knew the Titans were taking Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to him.
It's not.
And then nothing to do with Cam
Ward.
And
then you look at the schedule. Titans, no primetime games, no standalone games.
Right.
They are in that 1 o'clock window the whole season, pretty much.
Or noon central, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Bye week right in the middle of the season.
So that's why I think Cam Ward, but I'm kind of intrigued. And then fantasy drafts are about around the corner. I'm wondering where people are going to, does anybody have any sense of where Cam Ward should be selected in your fantasy draft?
Or how does him being the quarterback affect Calvin Ridley, Tajay Spears, some of these other players on?
And the reason why we bring this up, this obviously has nothing to do with reality, but this has something to do with what's being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. If a casual fan is talking about you, it's most likely because they've just drafted you in fantasy or they can't wait to draft you in fantasy. And I don't even know if anybody has any idea what to make of Cam Ward right now at all. But let's start week one. That's going to happen in Denver. I kind of just broke it down for you why fewer people are talking about him and why maybe we should start paying attention a little bit more. Because he is going to spend his summer break throwing the F out of the football. I guess he's throwing an ootball around because he's throwing the right. F out of it.
Right. Get the F out.
He's playing ootball.
Ootball.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Mentioned earlier that J.J. McCarthy is on the top five list of most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL. Because again, last year, Vikings draft him, move up a spot to take him. He gets hurt in preseason. It's Sam Darnold's gig. Sam Darnold has the career year that leads him to Seattle. And now Minnesota is saying, guess what? It's your job to go get J.J. McCarthy. And it's a ready-made team. I mean, this is a team that was one game shy of the one seed in the NFC last year and then wound up being a five seed and got one and done in Los Angeles. So there's lots of expectation here. J.J. McCarthy meeting with the media and his first mandatory mini camp as the starter.
The thing I learned about myself is, you know, just the weight that I hold every single day and just showing up, being the same guy every single day, bringing that attitude, effort, and energy, you know, it infects, you know, the whole group. And it's just so amazing to see, you know, Ryan Kelly, Blake Brandel, Brian O'Neill, all these guys step up and, you know, be this one cohesive unit. And, you know, it just really makes me truly excited, you know, just to get back here, fall camp again. But, yeah, it's just the biggest thing I learned is that, you know, the things that I can control mean so much more than, you know, I ever even thought. And it's just awesome doing it with a great group of guys.
All right. Every time he opens his mouth, you just leave your I'm obviously biased, but aren't you impressed every time he opens his mouth?
I was very impressed when we met him at the draft, yeah. and I'm still rooting for him. I like him a lot.
We are all in on this guy, man.
Asked about how he's improved with his throwing. Here was his answer.
You think that you've grown the most from when you got here last year, just as a pure thrower of the football to where you are right now?
Pure thrower of the football, I believe I've grown the most on just the different level of trajectories of throws. You know, at Michigan, I was kind of a one-speed pitch kind of guy, you know, had a couple deeper balls with, like, you know, level three throws and stuff like that, but just working on that two ball and, you know, different paces to the pitches and, you know, ball location and all that, because at the end of the day, we want as much yak and rack as possible. So,
you know, I love it because, guys, when I was at Michigan, I was just a pure speaker of the language. You know, and then after I left Michigan, I learned different inflections, different ways of phrasing things. And pardon me for saying, look at me now.
Look at you. Look at us.
What is a pure thrower of the football? What is What does that mean?
Told you there's.
What's an impure thrower? Because if Philip Rivers is an impure thrower of the football.
Yes, Philip Rivers.
This might get him to the Hall of Fame.
Tim Tebow, impure thrower of the football.
I don't know if he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I told
he's
you.
In the Heisman House, though.
There's no additives or preservatives in his throw. It's just pure.
It's just a pure.
He's a pure throw.
Come on, JJ.
JJ. We're all in on JJ.
Did you like how I compared myself to JJ McCarthy?
Wasn't lost on us.
You know? Yak and rack, baby.
Yak and rack.
Yak and rack, baby.
Like keep it rally?
And throw the F out of the football.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal!
With that cannon of a left foot.
All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot for distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.